Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with my dear, dear friend, Dave Damashek. Check. Lots going on, right? The sports doesn't really stop, right? I guess we'll take a little bit of break after this NBA Finals. There'll be some baseball, and then we'll get right into football. Well, we're going to talk NBA Finals. We're going to talk football because they came out with a list. I think you like lists. I'm going to start getting you into lists, okay? If Ooh. I can, if there's one thing I could do, one way to turn you around, I want to get you into lists. But what was it? The execs and the coaches came out with a list of the 10 best quarterbacks. We're going to dive into that. Like I said, basketball. We have Robin Lopez. Yes.
I heard of him.
You heard of him, brother of, first center for the Washington Wizards, brother of Brook Lopez, who's in the finals, and he has a comic book coming out. Finally, the Lopez brothers have a comic book coming out, but it's going to be a fun show.
Is it? I don't know. You know, I come back, I have a nice break, I relax. All you hear about is needing to recharge your batteries and everything. Maybe I did that, maybe I didn't. And now I'm at a 10, Sal, in anger. And outrage and disgust at what I saw on Tuesday night. At what I saw.
Oh, the All-Star game. I didn't even mention that. Wow. Why? What are you upset about? The National
What do you think
just
I'm
getting,
upset about?
Getting killed, what you, the uniforms.
I couldn't give a good goddamn about who won the meaningless All-Star game. I care about what my eyes saw and had to turn away from.
All right, so here's the thing. Speaking of eyes and turning away, most of the time you'll bring up the uniforms, and I'll just roll my eyes. And like where yours are, you know, have an adverse reaction to the uniforms. I'm like, I don't know. Is this a bit? Of course it's a bit. But yesterday I felt your pain. I really did. I physically felt their pain. Like I could see like people who have like are sensitive to sunlight going out there. It's like, oh, come on, just don't stare into the sun. No, this was awful. The American League and National League, they have these new uniforms designed by Nike, of course, just to make money because they don't look good. No one asked for this. And I had a bigger problem with the National League, I think because it was white and so that the overlay, the terrible, terrible overlay for each team and each player really popped. What was your, you know what? We should introduce
you. Know what?
You
because, yes. Thank you for your amateur input on this. Right. Let's turn it over to the expert. Hit all the right. Music.
Dave Damashek. The uniformant, Dave Damashek. The uniformant, Dave Damashek. The uniformant, Dave Damashek. The uniformant.
All right, uniformant, take it away.
Well, let me start out at the end of the novel here. It will be a brief one. It's a short story. Final grade, F. 0.0. I don't care what, however else you want to measure it. It's at the bottom and maybe below there. Bad in principle, Major League All-Star game. Of course, we look to this game to see all the uniforms of baseball. We don't turn it on to see whatever that mess was. Bad in principle, worse in execution. Let's execute them. Not necessarily the person or people who came up with that design, but the uniforms at minimum, and we'll go from there. In town square, let's put them in a shredder or otherwise, and we must make a public spectacle of this so that it never happens again. I think that the feedback for Major League Baseball has been heard already, but let's make sure we put a final nail in that hideous, hideous coffin. I mean, who, you know, Ted Williams hit a home run to win the first All-Star game. Who out there was like, you know what? This would be even better if it looked like Ted Williams was wearing a onesie. When Dave Parker threw Jim Rice out at third base, who said, you know what? It would look even cooler if the Cobra looked like a mall security cop. Shame! Fah! Blech! That's the end of it. I don't want to talk about it ever again. That's how sick in my balls I am about it. Thumbs down. Shame on you, baseball.
Good job. Good job by you. You really wrapped it up there. Okay. And they should wrap those up and throw it in all the three rivers or wherever. Now hit them into space in Coors Field. Make baseballs out of them and then knock them out. I don't want to ever see him again either. Yes, I did feel for you because everyone on the internet agreed with you. And while there must have been some validation there, it also was like, hey, I've been judging uniforms for years. Right? It's like when you first saw Built to Spill and there was like nobody else was a fan. And then it got to this biggest popularity and they had like 60 or 70 fans. You're like, whoa, where did these people come from? Right? Is that how you felt?
Well, it's very much, Sal. Thank you for that. As a vain person, that sort of validation is helpful to me. And yeah, at the same time, I'm conflicted because other people are getting in on the bit. But it's no bit, though. You know, life's not a bit, Sal. And we learned that a tough lesson last night looking at that ball game. It was an atrocity to the eyeballs. It was very hard to watch. I would have to like watch half an inning, then take two innings off, then another half inning, and then I couldn't stomach it anymore, and I had to turn away for a bit. But yeah, you know, it is akin to, I guess, if you were the Oscars, you know, and you're, you know, it's like, wait, Blockbuster's doing its awards now? Like, who cares? Same thing for me here. You know, it's like, fine, go ahead and give your uniform rankings. Nobody's going to give a good goddamn, much like nobody cared about the Blockbuster.
But seriously, here's what baseball has over football and not basketball, because basketball players are practically naked out there. You see their full head, you see their body, you know, whatever. They're wearing like tank top jerseys or whatever. Football is hard to distinguish players unless it's, you know, they're handing off to Ezekiel Elliott or your top back or, you know what, your top receiver. You'll get to know where he's lined up and everything because they're so heavily equipped. You have the helmet and everything blocking. Why would baseball want to do this to themselves? It's hard enough to figure out who players are. Why are you disguising them even more now?
Like, that's a great point.
What baseball needs to do, like, put all the aesthetics aside, like, put everyone in their regular uniform. We know immediately which team they're on. Then we'll figure out who it is on the team. You know, it's not too hard. Well, actually, the Pirates had two All-Stars. I can't even make that joke. But, you know, so put their names on the back. Put their numbers on the back. Just have them wear their regular uniform. Figure out a different way to make money. I don't know. Have a bake sale after the thing in the parking
right.
lot.
Football and hockey, they can't wear their normal uniforms because it would be too confusing in action. Baseball, yes. That's why you can wear your home uniform. That's why you can do it. It's a gift from the sports gods that they have thumbed their noses at.
Yes.
Manfred on down and shame the devil. And I already told you, Sal, I'm finished with this subject and I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Stop trying to suck me in. Every time I think I'm out, you bring me back in and I'm done with it. And I want to say this to you. Mazel tov to you, and I want to take half credit again because I mentioned I'm a vain person. Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso, I agreed with you, but I floated Joey Gallo just as a backup plan in the home run derby,
Meatballs
I'm upset.
Mikey Meatballs initially had the graphic as Pete Alonso for Sal and Check to win. I was like, well, let's differentiate a little. I was like, I think he took Gallo as his backup, and now I knew you were going to be mad. But it's not like you wouldn't have taken credit if Gallo had won, right? But now I get it.
You're on to me. That's right.
All right, so for me, the home run derby was so much better than the All-Star game. I guess I'm completely biased. I'm a Mets fan. The National League lost. They didn't even really put up a fight. This is getting disgusting, the American League's dominance. Luckily, it really doesn't matter because it's not like you get home field in the World Series or anything, but I think the National League is hitting like 190 against American League pitchers over the last half dozen years. So that and the uniform, God forbid, I'm not going to mention that, but yes, that between the two things, I don't know what they do. Like, they try to do the mic'd up thing. I felt bad for Joe Buck a little bit. If you're going to do the mic'd up thing, if you agree to do it, be a sport, right? Talk. Don't do the
That's
normal.
So right.
Yeah, man, we're just having fun. We're just trying to have fun out here and compete. And it's like, all right, that save that for the locker room. And pass on it when they ask you to be mic'd up. There's 18 other guys. Actually, there's 30 other guys because they're filling in guys every half inning. There's a different one. So just pass on it if you don't want to talk and cut it up and be fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't need the interview within the game because I feel like, and I feel this way about every sport. I know I said two days ago when we kibitzed last that I think baseball does need to hear from the skipper or otherwise in the dugout. But the interview specifically in all sports in game undermines it. I know people bash Greg Popovich for his comportment in those, and generally I hate when the guys give the monosyllabic nonsense answers, but in the game, like, what Why do I have to answer questions? Well, we got a game going on right now. Maybe even at halftime, I guess. Although, have we ever learned anything at halftime?
There's a lot.
Have we ever learned anything in those halftime interviews? What do you think, coach? What do you have to do? Like, what's the coach going to do? Like, we're going to blitz on second down. Then, you know, like, what are they going to say to that nonsense? Like, oh, we got to play better. This is weird, but this is a meaningless game, so it's okay to try to conduct an interview. I just would like for a skipper to be mic'd during a game just to hear what he is saying to the pitching coach or otherwise. Because football would reveal actual, you know, play calling, but baseball, you could, scheming, I think it would be fascinating to hear that stuff.
I believe it. My thing is just, if you're going to agree to do this, don't be a lump. Don't sit there. And like, I felt bad for Joe Buck. Everyone's like, oh, Joe Buck, leave him alone. It's like, yeah, this was planned. They didn't sneak this microphone. It wasn't an ambush. Everything was planned ahead of time. Joe Buck is like, all right, good to know. Like, after a while, after the one word answers, he was like, and then some guys were good about it, but then some, I don't want to point any out, but some were just like, yeah, man, we're going to compete. Like, and I get it. You could potentially have a screaming line drive at your head in about 10 seconds, but if it's about compete and have fun, like you said, just have fun. Have fun with it. I don't know. I don't like that game. Also, 5-2, we're not seeing a lot of runs. I don't need to see 30 runs, but this shift, Sheck. Everyone's shifting. Can the best players in the game practice bunting in the offseason? Because you can get a bunt hit almost every time, I think, if you do it right against these shifts. And we're seeing, like, second baseman diving towards the right field line and throwing out a guy at first just because they played the shift. And it's routine. Talk about your eyes adjusting to anything. It's like any ground ball now to the right side is going to be fielded because there's, like, five players on that side. They have to do something about this
shift. You know, I am anti. We don't even know exactly what Belichick figured out about our favorite game.
No, it's a different sport. I'm talking baseball. What are you talking about?
Oh, wait a second. Yeah. My head's fine. No, Belichick solved something. He figured out the cheat code and maybe literally cheated. But one way or the other, he divined something about, like, here is a way that you can always win football games or win more than you lose. Mm-hmm. And somehow he the trap, the neutral zone trap in hockey kind of, it games the game and there's no solve to it. There isn't anything that a high-end team can do to defeat it, really. I hate it, but for a sport that prides itself from Mount Pius on down about, like, the unwritten rules, well, stop this crap out. This isn't in the spirit of baseball. This is jive. But to your point, how hard-headed are we going to be about if you're a hitter? Like, well, I'm paid to slug. Like, all right, well, how about get on base? Because there's a free ride to first base if you just bunt the ball.
I'm with you. You get a dozen extra hits a year. I mean, some of these guys are hitting into the shift every single at bat. So really,
do it once, and nobody can do it to you ever again. Yeah, exactly. But you can't keep doing it if you bunt the ball once, and that's the end of you ever seeing the shift happen to you as a ball player.
Exactly. It's all right, let's shift to, because I know between the uniforms and the shift and everything, I did not like it. And the mic'd up, the All-Star game was a zero, I thought. And I loved the pre stuff. I mean, it's becoming like, I don't know if it's become, maybe it's been like this for years, where the home run derby is better than the actual game. The 3-point contest and the dunk contest are better than the actual game. I don't know. Hockey's a little lost, but they have skills competitions in hockey. Like the Saturday before, they do. All right,
Sal. So we the answer is we don't need any of these. The best of all of them. Let's start the trend. Football shows us the way so often. Come on, football. I've been talking about this for 15, 20 years now. Get rid of the dumb Pro Bowl. No one wants to hit each other in that.
Oh, yeah,
Loser Bowl. Two worst teams play each other. Winner gets the first overall pick in the next draft. This is
like
a gangbusters idea. Everybody would love it, except the guys required to play in it. They would be vexed. But guess what? Then they'll come in last or second to last place in the league, and then you don't have to play in it.
I like that fine, and I do. And also, it screws up. All stats are all screwed up now anyway, but when you have so many backups accepting an invitation to the All-Star game in any sport, like, you know, and now all of a sudden, well, Taiwan Walker was an All-Star 4 years, but but was he ever selected? No, like, seven guys had to get hurt for him to do it. Like, you know, it screws up the stats of who's great and who's not, and when you start talking Hall of Fame, there are some very good players who this is how they get in. They'll have another stat to lean on when they really weren't chosen or right for the position. at the
time. I get that these guys have egos, though, so it's nice if they do that. But I feel, I detect, I get a whiff of oversell from the broadcasters saying, like, these guys are so excited to be here. They love being here. Do they? Because in the midst of a 162-game season, they either can have 3 days off, three-day furlough, to go put their feet up, or they can play another ball game and have to deal with another couple days worth of nonsense and press and all that everything else. Who would want to go to that?
And I think it's nostalgic, honestly. If you grew up watching the game and you love the game and you love the All-Star game and what it represents, then I think that's kind of – and they get a little extra scratch, and maybe they bring their family there and everything. But and some guys have fun. I mean, Pete Alonso is dancing in between pitches for the home run derby. But I get it. I think I would probably sit it out. It's a long summer.
I would do it drunk.
Oh, yeah?
Because then it would be like you would be playing the game, but it would be – you know, like a vacation at the same time.
Well, it would make the mic'd up segments that much more entertaining. Well, correct. I imagine at some point we'll see a number, a value on how much they made selling those horrific jerseys, and I won't report it back to you.
Well, you know what? Everybody said they look like softball jerseys. Maybe they should do exactly what I just said: kegs on the field and all of it.
Yeah.
If everybody was drunk. Now we have an entertaining product to talk about.
Like the Golden Globes of baseball.
There you go. Yes.
Back when that was acceptable. NBA game four tonight. Suns at Bucks. Bucks looking to even the series. But the Suns have a different plan on their mind, Dave. They're looking to go up 3-1. See, it doesn't – the Bucks, the fact that they're looking to even the series, the Suns can't be like, all right, well, now we move on. No, they're going to show up. The line is 4.5. It was last game as well. 221 is the over-under. That went up from 220. Landed right on 220 last game. We're doing Race to One Wednesday tonight, the trifecta and I, because, you know, they screwed us. It used to be Tuesday. We've had basketball every Tuesday. It used to be Race to 10 Tuesday. Now, what do we do on a Wednesday? We got to go one. I can't do Race to 10 Wednesday. No, that doesn't sound right. We'll lose listeners. Race to One, first score wins. And I'll tell you what, I had Harry pick it for us because Harry, I don't know if you follow this. He was 0-14-1 before yesterday. And his last 15 picks, this is astounding. That's very, very difficult to do.
It truly is a remarkable run he's on.
His one tie was Suzuki to have a shot on goal, and he did that in overtime against Tampa Bay. So that was his tie. But anyway, and he had Qatar yesterday to win. They did not win. They drew. So he's 0-15-1. So he said, Harry, you're picking the Race to One. Who do you like? He said, I like the Bucks, so we're going Suns. We're going Suns to score first. That's my pick of the day today, actually. Okay. Plus 118, Suns to score the first point in the game, and we're going to be screaming like lunatics tonight live on Twitter.
Don't miss it. It's gangbusters every time. If for some reason you've missed it to this point, enrich your life and watch these fools yell and scream at a TV screen and their laptops. As well, this will be especially compelling with the first basket. I think you need at least 5 minutes worth of warm up of just explaining his choice here.
Yeah, because it can't be 8 second long telecast or whatever we're doing. But here's what's interesting, Check. We have Robin Lopez on. Brother Brooke Lopez takes the opening tip, has won the first three. So this is why they're plus 118. That's a good plus number for one basket. I wonder if we could get a message to Robin, through Robin, to Brooke. You could lose that tip. No one's gonna claim foul if you lose that tip.
And this show is the reason that all gambling on sports goes down. It all collapses right as it's about to soar to another level. Harry, his decision-making process, I already had some questions about it, but I woke up today to him asking me, the uniformant, about the uniforms on Twitter. But then he tweeted it, and then within the tweet to me, he tagged himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's all over the place with this.
I'm curious.
You don't expect 0-15-1 from someone like this. He has no clue. His lack of focus is extraordinary.
Count me as a fade Harry tonight. I'm going with the Bucks.
You're going with the Bucks? Oh, right.
Because score first. I'm going Suns. Plus the 4.5, but in the race to one, what am I going to do? I got to fade.
No. We already faded it. I took it out of his hands. He wanted the Bucks, and I faded. I said, yes, I took it.
Okay, I got it.
So the fade is the Suns, but I know it gets confusing. His extra points pick, which is he's looking for his first and 16, is the Suns. So I know it's very confusing. So bet the Bucks. I actually think they even it up. You know, I don't want to be a curmudgeon, but they've not been a good game in a while. Like 12 of the last 13 have been 10 points or more. I recommend it on FanDuel. Go take the Bucks to win by 11 or more at plus 220. Go take the Suns to win by 11 or more at 7-1. One of them's going to win. You'll get your money back and then some. But I'm being a curmudgeon there. I just don't think there's going to be, you know, Parlay Kid and I were talking about it. If we're not going to get the stars, Shaq, right? If we're not going to get the LeBrons and, you know, against Kevin Durant, at least give us a close game, right? We're not getting that. We've had blowouts.
I hear you, but now I got to say, as a curmudgeon myself, you two have now tilted too far in that direction because we have stars. This is history will completely forget. I'm sorry to say Lakers fans, Clippers fans, Sixers fans, whoever else. History will forget the injuries that led us to this. As long as we have two fully healthy rosters and Giannis keeps doing this, like we talked about the other day, this is going to play just fine in history. Sure. We have stars on both sides of things. And we have a two-time MVP and Giannis doing what he's doing. That kind of, to me, is what decides the series going forward is can Ayton get going with Portis and Giannis and can he offset what they're doing on the interior? But, I'm going to go with, if you wish me to jump into it unsolicited, I think that Devin Booker bounces back from an atrocious game 3 effort. He writes the ship for himself and for the Suns. He's the difference, and I am taking Booker to be the game's top scorer at plus 380. Give me that one ahead of Giannis and everybody else.
I like it. I like it a lot. I also recommend it on Against All Odds, Booker over Giannis at plus 260. But if you just think he's going to run away with top scorer, get the better odds at a plus 380. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm all over the place with this guy. I just want good games, right? I mean, if this goes 7 games and every game is decided by 10 or 12 or 15, how does it go down in history? Like, yeah, that was a 7-game series. But will people remember that none of the games were close in the final minute? I don't know.
I mean, I'm taking the Suns here, but if you're an objective viewer, what you want by hook or by crook, I suppose, is a Bucks victory here, right? Because then now if you go 2-2, now
more by hook than crook, but I know what you're saying, yeah.
Okay, yeah, for okay, sure. Fair.
Golf, Shaq. I don't know how much. Now, the British Open. We're down to one more major here. This is a fun one. It's a Lynx course. I like telling people, no, it's a Lynx course. It's different. Like, I don't even really know what that means, but it's a Lynx course. I guess there's deeper rough and more bunk, more sand and shit. And I don't know. The Europeans seem to do better.
No, there are no trees. The bunkers are deeper. Right. The winds are generally much stronger than you have to contend with stateside. Yeah, these are the differences. Well, flag sticks are much lower than we're used to, so it's an optical illusion. Every time a guy lands the ball on the green, you're like, wait, is it close? I can't tell because of the height of the flag stick is also.
Is that true? The sticks are different? That should at least be the same, right? What? But you could the clubs all have to be regulation, right? Like, why is any of the actual
I think so.
Man-made equipment different? That's strange to me. All right. Well,
I don't know. Anyway. It's like how they have different money over there, those weirdos. They have to be different.
One thing is for sure, Shaq, Golf Glory is up for grabs this week, and you can get in on all the action with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just place your first bet using promo code EXTRAPOINTS in FanDuel. We'll refund you up to $1,000 in site credit if you don't win. That's craziness, $1,000. It's been an exciting golf season. Yes, a lot of full of can't-miss moments. Join in on all the fun FanDuel Sportsbook. Always great promos, easy to use, safe and secure transactions. And as far as the golf goes, it's anybody's trophy this weekend. But I have a few favorites. I don't like Rahm, Dustin Johnson. I'm going Xander Schauffele. This guy just goes about his business. He is right there for every major. He's top 10 last week in the Scottish Open, 15 top 20s this year. He's outstanding, just short of a major in every category. I think you can get him for 18-1 odds. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to unlock your risk-free bet up to $1,000. Sheck, where should people put their $1,000?
I love that pick legitimately because he's been in contention for at least, off the top of my head, two of the other three majors. Yep. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy. For the reasons you state, even though they don't really aren't maybe supported fully in 2021. It's kind of like we were talking about with the tennis grand slams, that some guys are good on grass and some guys are good on clay, but they've kind of negated those differences. Apparently, I've talked to some tennis experts of late who tell me that, like, yeah, the clay isn't as severe an advantage as it used to be. And that's why some guys are able to close the gap on the best clay players over the last 5 years or so. I feel like when we were growing up, remember like Paul Azinger, the American, they would say, well, he should do really well on those British courses because he knows how to hit the low. What you want to do on those, theoretically, on those kind of courses is hit the ball, hit the low stingers, the line drives. You don't want to hit the soaring draw that American golfers tend to play.
Right.
I feel like now you don't really see much of it. Well, the Euros who get it. All that being said, give me the Euro. I'm taking McIlroy. Oh. He's your winner in 2021.
All right. Well, he has a win under his belt, obviously. Always in contention. All right. That's a good pick. Well, you'll know right away with Rory. That's kind of the thing, right? He's around for the weekend and there on Sunday.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It'll be good. Maybe Thursday at mid-afternoon he'll bail out.
I do like, by the way, can I just say quickly, sure, the bunkers over there versus the Americanized bunkers are pretty funny symbol of America. It's like, yeah, we're going to keep the sand and everything, but the spirit of them we're going to throw out the window, because Americans over everybody else in the world, we're masters of convenience. That's what we have. It's like, we don't actually want a bunker that you might get stuck in for like 3 or 5 strokes, you know, like, we're going to have the sand and it'll be nice like a beach, but we're like, you could get stuck in purgatory in one of those British courses there.
Well, along those lines, you talked about the soaring drives of some of these golfers. Bryson DeChambeau, I think, is going to struggle.
If you need
a matchup, Koepka, now this went up, man. This was minus 140. It's minus 152. Brooks Koepka, and by the way, one of the biggest rivalries in sports right now. Koepka over DeChambeau, minus 152 now. DeChambeau, he's a reckless driver, really. He's like, I'll hit it 400 yards. We'll see what happens. But he's going to find himself in these deep roughs and the sand, like you said. And he's had his last three opens. He hasn't even sniffed the top 50. Twice he didn't make the cut. And I expect the same kind of thing to hear.
Shame the devil. In pro football, Tom Brady goes to Tampa. And so what do the game makers say? Like, well, then let's put him against Drew Brees week one. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off and give the people what they want a year ago. What are they doing in golf? Why don't they just make these two play against each other? Now it's like, it's sort of like don't cry in front of the school bully or else he's just going to bully you. You two open your mouths. That was dumb. The golf organizers should be like, well, now you have to play against each other every round.
That'd be great. I think Koepka said he'd reluctantly play with him during the Ryder Cup or something. It's really funny how he doesn't like him. It's the stupidest thing. You brought up football. I don't know why, but no, we're going to talk about. So what happened now? There's a top 10 list. Like I said, you like to get into lists of quarterbacks as determined by executives, front office executives, and coaches. Let me just read the list to you. Patrick Mahomes, 1, Aaron Rodgers, 2, Tom Brady, 3, Russell Wilson, 4, Josh Allen, 5, Matthew Stafford, 6, Dak Prescott, 7, Lamar Jackson, 8, Justin Herbert cracks the list as a rookie from last year, 9, and Kyler Murray, 10. Coincidentally, Sheck, if you look, because we speak through odds here, if you look at the odds for MVP, those are exactly the top 10 expected to win the award.
In that order.
Are there any snubs? No, not in that order. The top three stay in order. It's Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady. And then Allen would go fourth, which that's where the list goes a little sideways, right? Josh Allen is fifth on this coach executive list. You have, I mean, Emmy nominations came out yesterday. You see any snubs on this list? I think the only ones you would consider are Big Ben, and I feel weird talking about this. We have 4 minutes to discuss this before Robin Lopez jumps on. But Big Ben, or I think Matt Ryan could make a case for being in this top 10. What do you
think? Well, I think, first of all, Maya, how do you know that Robin Lopez doesn't have some strong opinions on pro football QBs? We won't know until we ask him. In the meantime, I'll say this. The snub, I do, you know, I've said it before. I'll say it to you again. Matt Ryan just holds on there. Jake Matthews or Chris Long doesn't draw the holding call on Jake Matthews in Super Bowl 51.
Oh, yeah.
28-3 rally never pays off, and we all understand that Matt Ryan is on his way to the Hall of Fame. As it is now, it's kind of like if you say Matt Ryan's going to the Hall of Fame, people kind of chuckle. No one chuckles at Ben Roethlisberger going to the Hall of Fame. However, a lot of talk about whether he's picking up his left heel on run plays or his weight and everything else right now. I like this. This is what we want. Is if you are a Steelers backer, you want chip on the shoulder Ben Roethlisberger for the 2021 season. This is good. I don't want him on a top 10.
I get it. We have to figure out what top 10 means, because I don't think it's – I heard you talking about it with Ross Tucker yesterday. It's like it's a different question if you're discussing who do you want as your quarterback for the next 5 years. I don't think that's what this list is. I don't know that – I mean, I think I'd have Joe Burrow over Tom Brady if that were the case, right? If you have 5 years to consider.
Well, yeah, forget 5 years.
Or something, right? I don't know. I don't think it's 5 years. So is it based on just what we saw 8 months ago, 10 months ago, whatever it was? I think that's what it is. I'm not sure who would, maybe Matt Ryan over Kyler Murray. Maybe it's just a little early to say Kyler Murray, you know, what he was hurt for most of last year, right? I mean, he played hurt.
And every shot, every chance to make the playoffs, and he didn't get it done by injury or otherwise. So that is, it does feel a little speculative about what's upcoming for him. It can't be based on last year because Aaron Rodgers won the MVP and Mahomes was ahead of him and Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. So that doesn't hold water. Yeah, it's curious. I think it's like when the NFL does its player vote, the top 100 thing, it's theoretically at least what happened last year combined with what you think is going to happen this year. Either way,
that's fine.
I find it very funny, the rewriting of history, like I talked about and you just mentioned there with Ross Tucker on -3, a really good episode breaking down Lamar Jackson and all of that, is like, let's please everybody ignore what we've been saying about Matthew Stafford or what we haven't been saying about him more accurately, because when people do their list of the five or so best quarterbacks, I defy you to give me a list that last mentioned Matthew Stafford being among the very best quarterbacks. But all of a sudden, lo and behold, oh, yeah, of course he's fifth or sixth. He's right in the conversation. Of course he's ahead of Dak Prescott and otherwise. It's very funny that all of a sudden Matthew Stafford is undeniably one of the best. I think, by the way, he will prove that to be true. It's just funny that everybody has decided to wash their hands of their own opinions.
Right, exactly. Man, it's going to be interesting to see with him. It really is. People are overvaluing, and I'm one of them, overvaluing the Rams. I like them because they're the only team that didn't allow 300 points. So they're going to keep you in every game. That's what they did with Seattle in spite of Jared Goff, by the way, who apparently is my neighbor. He lives like 3 blocks away. I had no idea.
Oh, humble brag. Maybe we just don't even need the adjective. It's just a brag.
I live in a really rough town, so I was like, whoa, why is he living here? I don't know. It doesn't make sense for me.
Detroit? Yeah, it is. I've heard that. I've heard right Detroit there. Has some East rough Lansing. Patches there. Really, yeah,
he could do better than that. But so, you know, Colin Cowherd, I don't even know what we should go into, Robin Lopez. Say what you will about Colin Cowherd. He really broke down this list in an interesting way in that all these guys have very different paths to the NFL. The whole 10, like, you can't say, all right, this is how you draft a guy, because Patrick Mahomes played on a losing team at Texas Tech, right? Tom Brady struggled to start at Michigan. Russell Wilson had to transfer from NC State. He wasn't as good as Glennon, right? He couldn't start there. Who else? I mean, actually, you talk about Stafford. He's the only one who did it the traditional way. He was like highly coveted out of high school, went to a big school in Georgia, excelled there. It would make sense to draft him. There's a couple others. I guess Lamar Jackson went to a basketball school and did well. And Dak Prescott's coach, you know, at Mississippi State, wasn't he wasn't even sure about him. All these guys are so all over the place. I thought that was an interesting way. Kyler Murray wanted to play baseball. Like, what? How do you really draft? You look at these 10, you're like, oh my God.
Let me Cliff Notes it for you, Sal. Yeah. Yes, he can have his more labyrinthine explanation, but the Cliff's Notes of that is that that we have reached full QB saturation in pro football. There are a lot of good quarterbacks now. It's not that hard to find one. Just don't make a mistake. There will always be some crapshoot element to quarterback, and obviously, if you look back at the most recent high-end draft with any number from Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, still a question mark, Josh Rosen, nowhere to be found. But the point is, as long as you don't err, and you can even err, as the Cardinals prove, in this new age of thinking, you can even screw up on your Rosen pick and be like, yeah, let's just erase that and get Kyler Murray the next year, because quarterbacks are almost growing on trees now.
Right, I'm going the other way. I'm like, there's a lot of opportunity to screw up, because if you say, all right, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest, he's the greatest we've ever seen, whatever. You say, all right, so let's take a guy with a big arm on a losing team, right? Texas Tech. No, that could definitely not work out. You could say, all right, let's take Russell Wilson. No, he transferred and like he's small. It's like, we got to stay away from that. No, because that does work out sometimes. Like, I don't know how you're a scout these days. I think it's very difficult to try. I mean, I just gave you like seven different like combinations of how you could get to this league, and I'm not sold on any of them.
I hear you. I guess there's a through line through the decades there. Tom Brady, I don't know if you heard, he was a 6th-round pick. But Bart Starr was a 15th-round pick. But I feel like in the 70s, like Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, the two best core, Fran Tarkenton, I don't know where he was drafted well before them. We can shelf the football talk unless Robin Lopez has some keen opinions on this thing. I'd love to hear from him.
Let's have him on. All right, here he is, Shaq. Let's bring in our guest. He's a 13-year NBA veteran and the biggest nightmare to NBA mascots everywhere, Washington Wizards center Robin Lopez. What's up, Robin?
What's going on?
I do love the mascot thing. You feud with NBA mascots, and some people think they're cute and furry. You and I both know they're a mascot. They're nuisances, right? And they're dangerous. Which mascot do you like beating up the most?
Oh, so many come to mind. I love going after Clutch, the Houston Rockets mascot. Yeah. I think Hooper, the Detroit Pistons, he's very obtrusive. He's out there just for himself. He's not even supporting his team. He's just trying to make himself famous.
So. Right. Super obnoxious. Yeah, he should be in Philadelphia.
What's it's a me doing? Guy. Yeah.
Hey, I don't have to tell you, your twin brother, Brooke, is in the finals. Let me ask you, how is it? Are you pacing during the game? Do you talk to him before or after the game? Or do you just like leave him alone for 2 weeks? This is pretty big.
I mean, it's pretty insufferable for me, honestly. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. He tries to lord it over me a little bit, and I don't bite. I maintain that I'm the bigger man, and I just don't bite.
But so, I mean, it's nice for the Lopez family. It's been an enduring thing now for 15 years for the Lopez family. Like, two brothers, both in the NBA, but at this point, You're kind of like good for you getting to the final, Brooke, but don't win it, because then that cinches it for all of time. That will be the claim for the remaining decades that you both walk the big blue marble, right?
That's difficult, right? You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
You guys almost met in the first round, right? If the play-in had worked out a different way, you would have had a series against each other.
That would have been nice. That has to happen at some point. That definitely has to happen at some point. I'm not saying the NBA should manipulate anything. That would be that above them, but that should definitely happen at some point.
Let me ask you, would you guys, I think, Shaq, now if we were to make a line on this, the Lopez brothers against the Antetokounmpo brothers, I think I'd take the Lopez brothers on 2-2. Robin, how do you see that game playing out?
I mean, I don't think there's not much they're going to be able to do in the interior, honestly. I mean, I think when they get in there, it's going to be a brick wall, so they're going to have to take advantage of something from the outside.
Right.
If DeAndre Ayton called you up and he said, listen, what's your number, Robin? And like, 10,000, 20,000, give me some tips on Brooke. Would you provide them? Is there a number that would offset family loyalty?
There's a number, and it's far lower than that.
Some crab cakes or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll have to get that out to DeAndre. That's good. I do want to talk about when you came into the league. We were looking at this. Like, it's a different game when you came in 2008. I think I have this right, and don't correct me if I don't. But you took 23-point attempts. You had 23-point attempts in your first 10 seasons. Last year, you took 105 three-pointers with the Bucks. Your brother in his first eight seasons, not last year, but you, 2 years ago, in his first eight seasons took 31 three-point attempts. This year he took 281. When did it finally feel like, okay, I guess this is just how the NBA is now. Everyone's got to knock down threes. Was there a moment you remember? Because it's unbelievable.
I started working on that shot like 4 years ago when I was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And when I got to Milwaukee, Bud told me, you know, we have that most confidence in you. Just you get it there, just let it fly. So yeah. I had fun with it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. You were like, you're like, wait a minute, that's what that line's for? That semicircle is like, that's worth more points if I make it, and Steph Curry's getting celebrated for doing that. I'm getting in on this act.
I thought that was for the National Volleyball League, and they were, mm-hmm. when they would play in the same court, they right. would do that in some capacity.
Easy mistake to make. What do you ever look back and think? Do you and Brooke ever kind of have conversations about like who won the name game, like Brooke versus Robin? Who won the better name on your date of birth? Robin's a better name.
No, for sure. Just in sports, you have Robin Young,
right.
Milwaukee Brewers. Fictional characters, you have Robin Hood. You have Robin the Boy Wonder.
Yeah, but there's Batman. So does that make him Batman? You know, that's the conundrum.
That makes him Brooke.
Just because somebody's named Robin doesn't make anybody else Batman. That's not how it works.
Yeah, come on, Shaq.
That's really insulting Batman, I think.
You're right, and I just want to say for the record, to make you feel good during this difficult time for you, as Brooke is three wins away from an NBA title, I want you to know that at minimum, Brooke is empirically a bad name for a baby. Maybe not for a grown man, but Brooke the baby. Like, oh, little sweetie, what's his name? Brooke. That's not the name for a baby.
Yeah, I think you won out, Robin. I think you do. And Robin, we're going to get into it, as a big comic book fan. So we'll get into that in a minute. So that, yeah, it might have been a blessing. I would be excited to be named Robin. What do you think of tonight, game four? I mean, do you have to say, it'd be fun if you say the Suns win, but do you think the Bucks even things up?
You know, it's difficult to say. They need this one. I don't need to tell anybody that. This is a game they need to win. But I think it's a really interesting series. You got all the storylines. Chris Paul there. Monty Williams, who I played for. He's a great guy. He's been doing amazing things with that team. I'm just as excited as anybody else to see the game, honestly.
Yeah, it should be good. All right, so you're not committing. I know. That sounds like he likes the Suns tonight, Shaq.
Well, I can't tell, and I would be fascinated to hear what your thoughts are on, or if Brooke has said anything to you about, like, what the hell? How is Giannis? We all saw his knee do like that, but I don't mean like this in the right direction. I mean, it went like this, his knee, and now he's playing basketball and still as dynamic as he ever was. It's crazy to look at. What gives there? I mean, how does he survive that injury and be playing 2 weeks later?
Yeah, I don't really want to joke about it, but it seemed like some kind of Gumby thing or something.
Yeah.
How does, by the way, I feel like, not maybe what happened to Giannis, but I feel like we should see it a dozen times a game. Like, you guys, you seven-footers inside should at least jump and fall on each other's sneakers and turn a foot. Like, why don't we see that all the time? Are you just hyper aware of it? Or is there a lot of luck? But why, right? Shouldn't this be happening more?
I know with me personally, I only jump about a half inch off the floor, okay. So I don't worry about anything sliding under my foot.
Gotcha. Savvy. Savvy, yeah, move. Smart.
That's
I like that you keep invoking all the names of the coaches and players you've known and played in. That's because you've played on 27 NBA teams. Can you name them all right now off the top of your head, like naming your children or siblings?
I can name the three I didn't play for.
You can do that. That's easy.
Clever.
Buffalo Braves.
Right. I'm looking now. You were not a member of the Buffalo Braves yet. It's good to. There's still time. All right, listen, I want to get serious here. Because I have money on the Phoenix Suns to score the first point, okay? Now, here's where you come in, Robin. Your brother is taking the tip, the opening tip. He's 3-0 against Ayton in the opening tip. I need him to tank this. Now, you talked about money and how much less it would cost to give advice. No one will notice if he tanks the opening tip. Ayton comes down, gets fouled, makes the first free throw. I win my bet. How much is it worth to you? I can get you in on this.
We're going to have to talk in comic books, I think. There's not not really a money point. I think we're going to have to talk in comic books or something.
Hmm.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. Good. See, this is how you make money, Shaq. This is also how you get booted off the air.
It's a negotiation. That's all. That's what this is, the opening salvo.
Hey, we've heard about your vacations and like they give awards. Are you waiting for, do you vacation with Brooke or are you just, these vacations where you give awards are legendary. What's the best award you've given on some of these family vacations?
The best award? The award I always try to win is most adventurous, but that's just because I'm an Indiana Jones fan. We have awards as simple as something like best dressed. We have the Braveheart Award, which was created after a friend of ours tried to jump on a boat from the dock, trying to impress some British girls. And so the Braveheart Award is for the most memorable moment of the vacation or trip or whatever.
That's a good one to win.
And as a result, much like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, did your friend, when he landed on that boat, to have several feet of intestines removed from the injury he suffered?
He had this giant bruise going down his left leg from like mid-thigh. All the way past the knee. It was amazing.
And were they impressed, the ladies? Did it work? Was it worth the gamble?
I think in a way they were impressed. And that's what's important.
Not the way he wanted.
In a way.
Well, Robin, you have this comic book coming. I'm fascinated by this. I was reading up on it, and it's called Transition Game. It now comes out the 20th. Tell us all about this. I was hoping it was supposed to maybe come out this week. I was hoping it would fight with Space Jam 2 and people would forego going out to see that and would read chapter one of your comic book. But now it is coming out next week. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we couldn't quite get that synergy working.
Yeah.
This is a story. It's been developed between the Lopez brothers, and that includes one of my older brothers, Chris. Mm-hmm. And it's about a kid who's an American kid who's playing middle school basketball in Germany. And his mom gets sent to a small island in Japan off of Okinawa for work. So obviously, with the pun in the title, Transition Game, it's a big change for him. A whole other side of the world, whole kind of different view to basketball. And it's based on our love of comics, kids, our love of basketball, of course, and the fact that as kids, we did switch schools a lot. My older brother, he moved from Los Angeles to Whidbey Island, which is a small island about two hours north of Seattle. And that was when he was in middle school. And so that was a big change for him, going from Los Angeles, one of the cradles of youth basketball, of high school basketball, to a small island just a little bit south of Florida.
Yeah, and this is all documented in the comic. And you have like a Japanese manga artist contributed. It seems like it's going to be a fun one.
Kazuki-san, and his work is fantastic. It really pops. It stands out on the shelves. He's done a lot of other great stuff, like Poncho, Doubt versus Goyushi-san, Mm-hmm. And he was actually the lead assistant on Slam Dunk by Inoue-san. And that's the kind of the seminal basketball manga of all time. Nice. So we were really lucky to have him.
Does anyone have superpowers in these in this comic book?
Nobody has superpowers, but as dynamic as the art is, it might appear sometimes that people do.
Oh, nice.
If you're over in Okinawa, does this climax with one of you playing one-on-one basketball against Daniel LaRusso?
No.
For your life. For your life.
It's different.
He fought for his life. He would have lost his life. Had that fight gone south for LaRusso, he would have died on that little miniature island that he fought the guy on. He only tweaked his adversary's nose, but it would have been much worse.
Miyagi was okay with it. Miyagi's like, you got to go do your thing. No points in this one.
Go fight to the death. You got yourself into this, Daniel.
Yeah.
Maybe in a later volume. Now with the Karate Kid resurgence we're living in this world, we're gonna have to work a lot harder for those rights.
Exactly. What is the best superpower, Robin?
I think super speed, but that's speaking as somebody who, as everybody can see, is not very fast themselves. So it's kind of wish fulfillment on my part.
Speed. No, flying.
Is there anyone?
Flying's
the best?
Well, of course flying's the best.
How fast? That's the question. How fast can you?
Who cares?
Super speed for me is what? Maybe running. How fast does the average human run? Super speed for me is probably running around the speed of Russell Westbrook. It doesn't have anything to do with moving at light speed. It just is moving faster than I already move.
You want to run, all right, Russell Westbrook, superpower speed. Yeah. All right.
I always enjoy the Justice League versus Avengers, like core Avengers fight, you know, battle royale. And what ultimately tilts it in my book is that Superman would be probably at the end of it. No one could defeat him. But can you make a case that Hulk or Thor might be able to defeat Superman?
So the two common cases in those. In those situations, I think Superman can beat either. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Hulk has a chance, but people say the madder Hulk gets, the stronger he gets. So
right.
It's one of those things, if could God microwave a burrito so hot he couldn't pick it up. Like, if theoretically the Hulk got mad enough, he should be able to be strong enough to beat Superman, which is ridiculous, as we know. Because this is a serious conversation.
Well, but listen, I asked you this question and you fell into my trap. Superman could, I don't know what Thor exactly, I feel like because you can take Thor's eyeball out. So obviously you can injure him. But Hulk, I don't think you can damage him. What you could do if you're Superman is you could grab, even if he has you hand, you can still fly. You fly him into deep space. And as long as then you get him off of you, like, what's Hulk going to do then? You know, like, then he's like Zod and the two other people in that piece of glass in Superman 2. Like, Hulk's just stuck in space. How's he getting back? Answer, he isn't.
I agree. Thor has a chance because occasionally when the writers want to bring it up, Superman does have a vulnerability to magic. And Thor is has some kind of magic aura around him, so.
Yeah, Mixoplick gets him with that sometimes. You're right.
Right, right.
By the way, we're joking here, but I'm looking at you, Robin, and you would really be able to give it to your brother. So what? He wins the NBA title. If it happens, great. You beat Phoenix 4-3. You should petition Marvel. You need to be a superhero. Honestly, you're 7 feet tall. You got the great hair. You got the voice of a superhero. What are we doing here, Shaq? What are we talking about? Powers and stuff. He's right here.
Move over, Apache Chief. Here comes Robin Lopez.
Yes.
Do it, Somebody's Robin. Asleep with the switch. Asleep with the switch.
All right, listen. We're going to get this done for you. I know some people in Hollywood who can get you on the ledge, you know, really take a good look at you. You just have to make it so your brother botches the opening tip. One hand washes the other. You got it?
I got it.
Okay, good. What the comic book comes out July 20th, right? The first chapter. It's called Transition Game. Very excited about it. And you have anything else to plug? I mean, that seems like enough. It looks like a fun little endeavor here.
I know, that's fantastic. I'm just going to be watching Star Trek for the rest of the day. So
now, wait a second, Sal. I got one more question for him because he had me at Dr. Indiana Jones.
Oh yeah.
If you don't have weapons, like detachable weapons, which is to say an arrow from a distance or a gun or anything, but you are allowed to have your weapon of choice as long as it doesn't leave your hand. I say Beatrix Kiddo. Or Jason Bourne could beat any other human. If you don't get to wear a superhero costume like Iron Man or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Jones, as we know, is a cagey fighter, especially if he has his whip. Could he defeat all? Or would Jason Bourne be his undoing?
I'm biased. I'm always gonna side with Indiana Jones. I think Indiana Jones' whole shtick that he's always in over his head. So if he goes into a fight seeming like the underdog, I think he can take it. It's gonna be close because that's what he does. But I think he's gonna take it.
All right. Well, I mean, if Bourne just has three snakes around his neck, it's over, right? He just goes running off like a sissy. Yeah. All right, Robin. I'm gonna let you go before Sheck starts interrogating you about the Wizards uniform. So, but thank you so much for coming on. This is a lot of fun. The comic book comes out July 20th, right? Transition Game.
20th, yep.
All right. Good job by you. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm telling you right now, that superhero thing, honestly, Dave Bautista gets in the world, right?
Yeah, that's
true. Robin Lopez is a better fit in that moment.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's coming out. Wonder if they can still shoot some extra scenes and squeeze them in there.
Get them in there. All right. That was a lot of fun. Joel, good point, bad point. I think it was a good show. What, right? We did almost an hour.
It was a great show. It was a late contender for best good point. Robin Lopez should be a superhero, a Marvel superhero.
Thank you. All right. Did it win it?
No, it did not. No. My good point is going to go to Dave, how the PGA should be absolutely pairing Koepka and DeChambeau. Yeah. I mean, Major League Baseball figured out they needed Ohtani hitting and pitching. NBA Christmas Day matchups always are, you know, Rockets Thunder or Nets Celtics. PGA has to figure this out. That's must watch TV.
I agree. I don't know if it should be every tournament, though. That takes the allure away from it, right? Like,
well, we won't know till we see, right? Let's do it one time and then see.
Yeah, I get you. All right, what was the bad point, Joel? Don't you dare give it to me. I had really good points the whole hour.
I mean, this is going to be hard to find a bad point. I don't think there are any.
The bad point is going to be when Brooke Lopez scores the first point of the game against the against the Suns, and we had this agreement with Robin. That'll be the bad and first point. Sheck, -3. You did it with Eddie Spaghetti yesterday. You got Hench coming up tomorrow, right? Am I getting falling behind?
No, yeah, really good. Legit good stuff from Ross Tucker, who is one of the few humans who can actually talk with some wisdom about offensive line play, what can happen in the AFC North specifically as a result of that offensive line play, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, all that stuff. Check that one out. It was a good episode. And we'll have Hench tomorrow, like you say.
There you go. Against all odds tomorrow. We're doing Race to One. Yes, it's Race to One Wednesday tonight. We're going to have a trivia question. We'll get a fan involved. We'll play for him or her. That'll be exciting. Just a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.